Good morning.
Good morning.
And for those of you on the other side of the camera, good morning and welcome to the Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. I appreciate everybody being here and hanging. The congregation here is kind of small, but it is a great congregation. We love everybody that's here, and we are so pleased and blessed to be here with you all. It's my honor and pleasure to take a spot for Paul this morning. The sermon title, up until a couple of hours ago, was To Be Determined. But it is In a Moment's Notice. What can happen in a moment's notice? Or without a moment's notice? Pray with me, please. Gracious Father, bless the words that I'm about to speak. May it be a blessing to those who hear it and bring glory to your name. With such honor and grace to be present in your presence this morning. In your Son's most holy name, Jesus. Amen. Yes, right up until about this morning, when I was reading my devotionals, August 7th, and it says, wait for the Lord to be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Whether we're waiting for a table at a famous restaurant, our favorite restaurant, or for traffic to move on the highway, or for an appointment at the doctor's office, or in line for a ticket somewhere, or just being in line at the grocery store, not many of us like it. Let alone are we good at practicing patience. However, much of the Christian life involves waiting on God's timing rather than insisting that events happen on our timetable. We like predictability and certainty that comes when appointments are kept on time, traffic runs smoothly, and the lines move quickly. But most days we encounter at least one area that's beyond our ability to control or change. Patience is the only way through the obstacle. Save the rest of that for a little later. One moment. What can happen in a moment? Well, for me, in a moment, I can get a phone call from somebody and say, Randy, can you fill in for me on Sunday morning? Yes, I can. And I'm pleased to do it. And along with that comes a little bit of preparation. You have to be prepared for that moment. Some of my scripture is going to come out of Acts. Acts 9, 3. You can look this one up here. We'll get together on Acts 9, 3. We're going to be journeying with Saul, who he was called at that time. And he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuteth thee me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And trembling and astonished, said the Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told there what thee midst do. In a moment's notice. Walking down that road, at a moment's notice, he was struck by blindness, and he was given the charge of something to do. I'll look at another example. How about a young virgin, teenage girl, walking, and the angel comes upon her and says, Guess what? you're gonna be blessed with God's one and only child at a moment's notice. Jonah and I sometimes I kind of associate a little bit with Jonah because he was quite something. He kind of hid from God. He didn't exactly want to do what God asked him to do. And out of all of the Pharisees, all the prophesizers, he was the only one whose prophecy didn't come true. Because God told him, you go and tell these people that they are going to be eradicated from the earth if they don't change their ways. So he just said, well, okay, I'm not going east, I'm going west. And he got tossed overboard on the boat and was swallowed up by a large fish. It doesn't say whale in the Bible, it just says a large fish. God created that one animal just to do a specific job. And he stayed in there for 3 days. Amazingly, guess how long Saul was blind? 3 days. When I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is ask about all the math in this book. Because there's got to be something about these numbers and how. I've asked mathematicians, you know. There has been a great mathematician, Dr. Thomas, studied this for years and couldn't make heads or tails out of all of the correlation between the numbers in this book. Then there was Enoch. Enoch went for a walk and never came home. How many of us felt like doing that? At a moment's notice. What God can do for us in a moment's notice. What can transform us in a moment's notice. When the phone rings, sometimes we hesitate to answer because we don't know what that moment's going to bring. So what brings us to that point? How can we accept what is being there? How can we be prepared for this? Well, there's some simple things that we can do. First off, we need to... a few years ago, I went to a seminar at district conference. And it was a pastor who preached to pastors. He offered advice because sometimes the pastors receive everything that sometimes the information that they get, it can be a little overwhelming. It seems like all the bad news filters into this funnel and comes to this direction. And they need somebody to minister to them. And that's what this fellow was talking about. He said, how do you do this? He said, what is the thing? He said, you have heard it said that there is how you are to be. You place God first, then others, then yourself. That is a fair statement, but it's a little incorrect. The first person is you. Now, don't get too upset back here. I realize, no, it's you. Then God, and then others. Or others, then God. Because if you're serving others, you're serving God. But you have to be in a position to be able to serve others and to serve God. You have to be physically aware. You have to be physically strong. Does that mean you have to be able to lift 100 pounds? No, that's not that kind of physical. Your body has to be in a shape to handle. To be mentally stable. You have to be mentally. And you have to be spiritually alive. You have to be spiritually strong. It's difficult to minister to someone if you can't make it to their home because you're not feeling well enough to travel. It's difficult to minister to someone if you don't understand the meaning of the words you're speaking. So we work ourselves to be strong. We guide ourselves to know how to treat with others, and we gain faith by studying the Word. We get into the Word and we follow it and we read it and use it to our advantage. We use it to strengthen ourselves. There's always someone out there that's going to be questioning you on what you believe. And you have to be able to answer them, and you have to be able to do it correctly and with enthusiasm and faith. That's what'll catch them off guard. When you're enthused about the Lord and you work it out, He's right there beside of you at every given moment. He's going to provide you with that. One other thing that we have to understand and know about. The three P's of the Bible. Anybody know what the three P's of the Bible are? The problem, the plan, and the promise. God has a plan. God knows the problem. God keeps His promise. There is not one promise in this book that God has not kept. And there are future promises that will be met. He's answered all the other ones in good faith. I know the other ones are coming. It's just a matter of time. God understands the problems that we see. There's every problem that every prophet came across, God gave them the answer and the strength to carry it through. Once they offered themselves up to the Lord and the Lord challenged them to a commitment, and they accepted, He gave them the tools, gave them the spirit to work everything out. There was no, they didn't have to worry too much about what was the, they worried greatly about what could happen to them, but they knew God was going to travel through, and they knew that God was going to work them through. Moses was one that was in the midst of a lot. And God gave him everything he needed to work through every problem that he was given. Even Noah was given every tool that he could at his disposal to work through. He did such a good job of scaring them people that they repented, and God did not have to eradicate the whole civilization out there. That whole area was ready to be done away with. And Noah went and said, I don't want to go there because they don't like me. You know, Jonah. Noah was another one that got in something there. He had to know him in a moment's notice. Build me an ark. Say what? Yeah, I want to put every animal on there. Okay, let's see how this works out. He was another one. One that I really enjoyed to talk about is Samuel and Samson. Samuel was given when his mother requested the child. And she said, I will give him to you. I just want a child. And when Samuel was born, he was given to the priest. And he was brought up in the priesthood. He was granted as a priest. An answered prayer. But Samuel did miraculous things. Samson also was the child of a woman who asked and begged God for a child. I will turn him over to you. Let him be. Gave him such great strength. God anointed him. And then when it was time, a moment's notice, God called Samson to perform great miracles. He was the strongest man on earth at the time. And he walked through, and what he did. So how is it that we can do these things? Of course we can't, we may not be given all of that. But like I said, if we prepare ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually, always didn't. I try to read my devotions at least once a day. Now it's on your phone, you know, just zip it up and it comes right to you. And that's one way. Getting into the book when you're asked to do something for it, you delve into that book and you start to read it and you try to come up with all of these great little tidbits of information. It causes you to learn more. It wants you to go into it even deeper. And I find myself doing that because I'll say, okay, I want to look up this verse here, and then that takes me to another verse, and then I'm going to another verse, and then I'm way over here. Next thing you know, I don't know where I'm at and where I began. So I have to back up and do it over again. But Saul had a unique experience. At the same time when Saul was struck blind, another man was given a message in the town saying, oh, this Saul from Tarsus is going to be coming here and you're going to go visit him and you're going to minister to him and you're going to heal him. And he says, well, I don't think I want to do that. I know that man. He's a mean fella. He's persecuting everybody. He's doing all kinds of bad things to us Christians, those of us that believe in Jesus. He says, you go and do this. Or 3 days later, when he got to him, anointed his eyes and scales fell from his eyes and Saul began to see. I wonder how many, you know, I went to the doctor, eye doctor, and they say my cataracts are getting pretty bad. And looks like probably in November, or in the late winter, midwinter, I'm going to have my eyes worked on. And so everything's kind of fuzzy and cloudy. You know, I don't know if anybody's had cataract being had the surgery. They tell me it's miraculous. They said what you can do after you have the surgery done, said you'll be able to see great. You know, imagine what Saul seen when those scales fell from his eyes. That light that shone on him from the Lord himself gave him a new vision, set him in a new direction where he became two-thirds of the New Testament is our brother Paul. Isn't that something? The man that persecuted those that believed turned around and the Lord met him and said, this is what I want you to do. There are times in our lives, I believe, we have to acknowledge when Christ is calling us to do certain things. How do we recognize that? How do we prepare ourselves for that? Once again, just by reading the Word, knowing what He has planned for us. We don't know what the plans are. God's the only one that knows. Christ himself said, I don't know what the time will be. Only he knows. But what's in store for us? It's up to God Almighty. But how? So we just have to pay attention for some of the little details that he might be giving us. He may not strike us blind in the middle of the road, but there might be some other things that he needs us to do. Kathy had a good quote this morning. Are you lifting someone up or are you dragging them down? Let's go and lift somebody up. Let's be a part of that lifestyle where we're going to be lifting someone up. As we leave here this week and for this week, let that be our job. Let that be our thought for the week, is to lift up some people. Help God be a ministry to them. And you can do that. Doesn't matter where you're at, who you're being with. Sometimes it can happen at work. Sometimes it can happen at the gas engine show. You never know when it's going to happen. But I'm going to have to talk to Paul because next week is Twin Bridges show, and that's next Saturday. We'll have to get him to go up there and preach on Saturday. Did a great job. For those that didn't get a chance to see Paul's sermon from Shenandoah, it was a beautiful sermon. great service. That had a lot to do about resurrection. Something like what we're talking about here. The resurrection of Saul, at least. His being, becoming, and ministering to those. He's one of our greatest leaders. Along with some of the other ones that were out there with him, Peter. Peter was thrown in prison, and when it came time for him to sentence him, the guard, everybody fell asleep, and the angel came in, put everybody to sleep, opened up the chains, and walked out the door with him in a moment's notice. You never know what's going to happen. We just have to be prepared. Carry the word of God with us. Carry it on our hearts. Carry it in our soul. Because God is with us every day. He is with us. We have been baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is in us. We carry it with us every day. What we do every day is a reflection of that. We may not minister to someone directly, but our actions through our behavior as Christians will tell the story of who we are. And I was a little late on the sermon this morning here. I apologize for that. But I'm going to finish it off with the rest of this. Whenever you are discouraged and disheartened by having to wait, remember that God has a bigger perspective and a different sense of urgency than our own. Today we can wait patiently in the knowledge that He is in control. Brothers and sisters, that's the end of our word today.